This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. It's graduation season. The school year is ending and students are celebrating their new degrees, certifications, and other accomplishments. What are the job prospects like for higher education graduates? Today we're talking with representatives of higher education programs in La Crosse about the job market for their graduates. We're here with Barb Kelsey, Director of Career Services and Advising at Western Technical College, Beth Dolderziki, Director of Career Services at Viterbo University, and Carolyn Bald, Assistant Director of Academic Advising and Career Services at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. So Barb, I wonder if you could start by talking about, you know, how many graduates are graduating from Western Technical College this month, or maybe just kind of a rough estimate of what you guys typically see of people kind of finishing the programs.
Graduation happened on April 21st, and the number of grads were actually down a little bit this year. We are on a trimester system, so students get done a little bit earlier than the other colleges in La Crosse.
Do you have a feeling or know kind of what factors might have played into seeing maybe a slightly lower graduation rate this year?
Well, we're experiencing an all-time low in the unemployment rate, and at Western we have both a mix of traditional and non-traditional age college students. So we tend to struggle a little bit in enrollment when the job market is really good.
Interesting. Beth, I wonder if you could talk about maybe if you know how many graduates are graduating for Viterbo this year, and if that's kind of a typical year for you guys.
Sure. We have three graduations a year. We have our December, our May, and then a smaller one in August, graduating dates. And then we'll probably have about around 420 people, I'm guessing, in this year's class, which is approximately 42% nursing. So a big percentage of our class would be the traditional four-year nurses, the BSN degree, and then we have a big chunk of nurses who are, we call them returning RNs. They have an associate degree in nursing, and then they come back and finish their bachelor's degrees. Employment is looking really good. And, you know, like Barb said, overall, I mean, unemployment in Wisconsin, I think, is like 2.9%. La Crosse is maybe 2.6. So our students are doing really well. Last time I looked, the statistics showed that about 43% of our students who are graduating in May, this coming Saturday, already had work. Those could be new jobs or they could be jobs that they're continuing in. But I would say that this is going to be a good year for our students. Last year's graduating class, the class of 2018, actually had 100% placement, which means that 100% of our students that we were able to contact found placement in graduate school or in the military or in a job or a volunteer service. So our students have been doing very well, driven in no small part by the demand for nurses.
What are the other common degrees that people are graduating with from Viterbo?
We have a very robust business department. So I know of our accounting majors are doing quite well. Accounting is a field that's growing across the country. Our human services do very well. We have a very well-known fine arts program. We recruit for that nationally, and our graduates go on to have wonderful careers at Broadway and fun things like that. And then we also have a strong liberal arts core. So our students who are studying English and history, you know, they graduate with very, very marketable skills that employers are looking for, ability to speak well, ability to research and to present. And I think that those liberal arts skills are something that all of our students have in terms of transferable skills that helps them to become employed.
Barb, I wonder if you could talk about what are the most common degrees or certification programs that people are coming out of Western Technical College with?
We have a strong health science area as well, so people can get an associate degree in nursing or respiratory therapy, PTA, occupational therapy assistance, but also strong business area, human services. I think one of the areas that's really has a very high demand is anything in the trades, so anything in advanced manufacturing or electronics, welding. So we kind of have a very diverse offering of programs. We really struggle with actually meeting the demand, especially in those trades areas.
I definitely want to get in later in the program talking about, you know, matching employer demand with what students are seeking degrees in. But, you know, I wonder if, Carolyn, you could talk a little bit about UWL, if this is a typical graduation year for you guys, and maybe some of the common degrees people are graduating with.
Yeah, like Beth stated, we have our graduation this coming Sunday and have a really strong class that'll be graduating, so there'll be a lot to celebrate. Some of our strong programs and most in demand, I would say, are our health sciences. Like the other two campuses, we have a really strong health sciences program. Many of those students will go on to graduate programs in PT, PA, OT, as well as some of the more technical health areas. We have high demand for our business graduates, our accounting and finance. Information systems and computer science are always, for everyone, always in high demand. And so those are some of our big areas. But our students across the board, our liberal studies students are doing very, very well in the job market. And I think they've done really well on campus, and the students are a little better at identifying those career competencies that they're taking from their classwork and their internships and experiences that they can translate into a lot of different fields. And so I think that's something our liberal studies students have done very well. So they're competing very well in the job market in all areas of human services, business, you name it, they're finding opportunities in a lot of different areas. So there's a lot to be proud of this spring as all of our students graduate.
Is that a new focus, focusing on those career competencies? Is that something that the university is specifically kind of looking at?
Yeah, I think it's a nationwide trend right now. Our national association, which is called the National Association of Colleges and Employers, does a survey of employers nationwide every year, and they have identified
eight
career competencies that they have indicated are most important when they're hiring applicants. So things like leadership skills, teamwork, analytical thinking skills, and so forth. So they're not always necessarily looking for a specific skill set, because they can train you in a lot of different areas, but they want to know that you're coming with strong competencies that will help you grasp those concepts and those measures a little bit faster. So I know on our campus it's built into our internship program, where we ask students and employers to reflect on all eight competencies and provide examples of how they've earned those. And I know in the classroom they're doing more to help students translate. Yeah, I do have that experience. That wasn't just a class project. That is what an employer would consider project management. And so let's break that down. What kinds of skills did you develop through that project management in terms of communication skills and problem solving and communicating that to everyone? So,
yeah, Beth, I wonder if you want to add on this subject.
Sure, and I agree with Carolyn. This is something that the career centers across the country are jumping on board with, is helping students to understand what they're learning and how it translates to the world of work. And that's what was behind their career competencies. And so I think one of the challenges for students in an interview or something like that is helping them realize that they have these skills. Mm-hmm. They just don't realize that they're important. So perhaps a student has done an internship where they did a couple PowerPoints or, you know, did some research. And so to be able to help them frame that within the framework of the career competency so that they see, yeah, I have global competency. I have presentation skills. You know, I'm able to communicate and help them to understand that it doesn't matter if you're learning it in a sociology coursework or marketing or accounting, that these are skills that are needed just across the board.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about career opportunities for students graduating from higher education programs this month. We're here with Beth Dolderziki from Viterbo University, Carolyn Bald from UWL, and Barb Kelsey from Western Technical College. Barb, I wonder if Western Technical College is also looking at these career competencies and kind of what that looks like on your campus.
Sure. Well, at a technical college, as you can imagine, it is very hands-on. That's kind of the basis of the education that we provide, and it is very competency-based. But as a college, we want to take that a little bit deeper. So in our Experience 2025, which is our strategic plan, we are incorporating work-based learning and community-based learning into all of the programs that we offer, which basically means that we are going to very systematically make sure that every student has some kind of experience that would connect them to an employer, whether that's through an internship or a practicum experience, or sometimes it's job shadows, making sure that there are like opportunities for them to actually get experience within a work setting. The community-based learning is similar, but it usually is project-based for a program or a class where they would do something that is giving back to the community. So it's usually with a nonprofit organization or a governmental agency to provide some kind of service within the area of their study. So that could mean like, the welders, they did some activities with the Boys and Girls Club and the Big Brothers and Big Sisters where they actually teach them how to weld and get some experience. So they did, you know, a logo for the Big Brothers, Big Sisters center. But it's a variety of different activities, and it is, again, like to get those competencies, to really connect the dots for students. What they're learning in school is important, but then showing them how it actually translates into work or, you know, being a better citizen, all of things that are important to employers.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like you need you need buy-in, right, from employers in our community and from, you know, whether that be city or county governmental agencies to let students kind of participate. And I wonder what that communication has been like, if you've seen a lot of companies kind of stepping in and saying, yes, we want students.
Yes. So I have been in this role for about 9 years, and the interest from employers to become more involved in our school has just increased. So their interest in being part of career fairs or being on campus just to talk about what they do, anything to kind of get in front of students because they know it's a tight market for them to find good employees.
Carolyn, I wonder what UWL's relationship is like with employers in our area. I mean, what does that communication look like?
Well, it comes in a lot of different forms, because I think employers are interacting with staff all over campus. And so that is something in trying to help. We're always trying to connect the dots and use our networks on campus and in the community so that we can best support each other. We have many employers that come to us asking to be involved in student projects within the classes, very similar to what Barb is talking about. participating with student organizations, coming in with a topic, maybe their expertise is in consulting. And so they can come in and talk about what their career's been like, and then at the same time do some plugging for their organization. That really works really well because it usually fits in either with the club or the classes curriculum that they would like to move forward on, but also provides them with some real life examples and connects them with somebody in the community. So we're lucky. We have a very, very supportive community, and we're always trying to figure out new ways to bridge the gap. But the La Crosse community has been so supportive, I think, of all of our institutions and our students, and trying to provide quality experiences, but also provide them with the expertise that our students are gaining in the classroom and from their other experiences.
Yeah, and Carolyn, I wonder how often is the university, matching or, kind of tailoring degree programs to better suit the needs of employers? You know, how often is the university looking at what employers are needing and kind of responding to that?
I think that's a constant thing that's happening on campus. Those ideas are kind of thrown out to leadership when we have interactions with employers or faculty and staff on campus or talking with community members or alumni are coming back saying, hey, this is a need that we have. So I think our campus is constantly evaluating what are some of our needs, but also what would best support our local community. I manage on our campus a pre-health student resource center, and that's been a lot of discussion about what are some of the, are there areas in healthcare that maybe we could help support better in the community, and trying to bridge with our local healthcare employers to find out where else could they be served or what other resources could we provide to all of our students at all of our campuses to help them better support the local area. So it's a constant discussion.
Yeah, Beth, I wonder how Viterbo approaches this, kind of relationship with employers and kind of tailoring degree programs to kind of meet the needs in the job market.
Mm-hmm. We have a pretty robust internship program at Viterbo, and all the students in the School of Business are guaranteed a paid internship. And so we have at least those students going through. And when you have an internship, you have an opportunity for a relationship between the university, the supervising faculty member, and the organization. And so through those conversations, we're able to kind of close the loop a little bit so that the supervisor of the internship might have a little bit of an insight into how things are presented in an academic setting. And then on the Viterbo side, we get an insight into how what we're teaching is being implemented in the community and what are the best practices. And I can't speak for faculty, but I know that there has been some good communication between the community and Viterbo. We have many community partners, one of the things that we really promote in the community is our strong focus on ethics and servant leadership. And so we find that our students are very much able to take those things that they've learned in the classroom and then apply them in a community setting.
I want to return to the internships that you were talking mm-hmm. about. Guaranteeing students a paid internship, mm-hmm. From my understanding, is not all that common. You know, we do see a lot of unpaid internships mm-hmm. in the job market. I mean, is that something that you think we're seeing change in of the role of internships?
Internships have become vitally important in the past several years. I think when you look in the past, like maybe 20 years ago, students would graduate with a degree, and the implication would be that they would be hired by a company, and the company would then train them. Mm-hmm. But now there's the expectation that the student comes to the job already trained, And so that's where the internship comes in. So those internships are super important. We strongly encourage students to do at least one internship. Not all academic programs require internships, but most of them do. And national statistics support that students who have at least one internship will be hired more quickly than students without an internship, and they will experience more job satisfaction too. So it is kind of a safe way to practice what you learned in the classroom. Having a paid internship is important because many students at all three of our institutions work really hard. Some of our students work full-time jobs in order to make ends meet, and they can't afford to do an internship. So having a paid internship program levels the playing field for them so that they can be on par with maybe some of their more privileged classmates who can do the summer unpaid internship. And so it has been a great program for Viterbo, and we have, if I had more students, I could place them all in internships because there does seem to be a great need and an interest in hiring interns in the La Crosse area. And we have interns across the country, too. We will have them internationally and across the country as well, not just in La Crosse. Some of our students go home and do their internships.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Yeah, and I also wanted to add, too, with the paid internship, we promote that to every employer that we interact with, because not only does it provide the student with an opportunity, but I know, and I think we all know, that those students are more likely to dedicate themselves to that employer and give more if they feel like they don't have to worry about how they're going to pay their rent or how they're going to pay their loans off. And so if they can find a paid opportunity and make it kind of a win-win for both, it really works out for the employer in a lot of ways because it's a great marketing tool. It's a great pipeline that they're developing, and it's a little bit cheaper to recruit when you can use your intern pipeline to supplement your hiring. So there is some great benefits to some of our local employers that do financially support the students in a paid experience.
Barb, I see you kind of shaking your head along totally. With a lot of what's being said. I wonder if you want to jump in and what you see of your students.
Well, I would completely support what they're saying about the need for these to be paid, if at all possible. And like nonprofits and governmental agencies are really, they kind of get a pass. So like as far as you know, the legality of having an unpaid intern, those entities, it's a little easier for that to happen. But in almost every other case, we really want those positions to be paid because of what Carolyn said and research supports that it's a better experience for both the intern and the employer. And just because, you know, also if the employer is trying to attract some of the, you know, the best and the brightest, those people are going to need to be paid. Most of our students probably fall within the poverty range, and they do work part-time or full-time. So for them, it would be like giving up another paid position if they were going to be working in an unpaid internship. And so many of these students really do have great skills that they have things to offer the employer. So it's not, there's something to be gained by the employer as well. So I do still get requests our job board that we use that people won't want to have an unpaid intern, but usually when I have that conversation with them and explain it, they understand and they'll be like, oh, that makes perfect sense. And it can be at a lower rate than what you would pay, you know, a full-time employee. You don't have that commitment that you would have. So if it doesn't work out, you're not, you know, obligated to keep the person on. But I'm a big supporter of the paid internships too.
Carolyn, you brought up the issue of students worrying about their debt, and I think that that is a reality of students today pursuing higher education, that they're likely going to have to take on debt to pursue that. And you know, I wonder how that, more than just internships, influences the kind of careers or job prospects that students are looking for or graduates are looking for.
Well, I think it's a valid thing for them to worry about. I have a graduating high school senior in my house right now, and that is a big factor in when she's thinking about majors, because she's already afraid of the kind of debt she might incur in college. So I think it's students are working a lot more than most people would give them credit for. It's actually really quite remarkable that they can most students can keep going, because many of them are working full time. They may have families, and they're doing everything on campus, like internships, undergraduate research, volunteering, you name it. But they're looking at opportunities, and they're looking at careers that are going to provide them a living wage, which also allows them to pay back their student loans. And so it might affect where they move to after they graduate. They may move closer to home so that they can save some money possibly and rent and travel. Or they're looking at organizations that support their employees in different kinds of ways, where they can live closer to the organization, or there's some kinds of other benefits that will help cut down on some of their costs in order to help them pay back their student loans.
Yeah, Beth, I wonder how you see students kind of juggling with student loan debt and how that influences their career decisions.
Oh, it has a huge influence on career decision. And when you think of, 20, 30 years ago, you could have a summer job mm-hmm. and make enough money during your summer job to pretty much pay for your expenses. And now that is impossible. We're seeing right now, the best job market that I can remember in the past 20 years, our students are graduating into a great job market. And so really the sky is the limit in terms of what it is that you do with your life, remembering that a career is not just a job. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. But I talk a lot to my students about, how do you want to live your life? How do you want to apply your talents and the gifts you've been given? And so coming in as a freshman, I see freshmen to be very major oriented. It's like, okay, what can I do? What's going to make a lot of money? And I totally get that, because many of them are first generation college students. They've seen their families struggle, and they want to make sure that they're getting into an occupation that will allow them a steady income, and they won't have to worry about work. But on top of that, they also need to be thinking about what gifts do they have, and what do they really truly love to study. And that needs to be part of the equation as well. So it's a big decision for a high school senior to make, to be able to know what the economy is doing and to have a good sense of what their skills and abilities are. But again, that's part of the college experience, to go into college and allow yourself the college experience, as Carolyn said, do the undergraduate research, as Barb said, do the internships. But if you're working 40 hours a week, it's really hard to do that. So I don't think that the price of college tuition is going to be going down anytime soon. If anything, it's going to go up. And it is a huge concern. I see students with lots of anxiety. They're burning the candle at both ends and in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard. It's a very hard time to be paying those huge college tuition bills.
Beth Dolderziki, Director of Career Services at Viterbo University, is here with us today to talk about job prospects for this spring's graduating class. She's joined by Carolyn Bald, Assistant Director of Academic Advising and Career Services at UWL, and Barb Kelsey, Director of Career Services and Advising at Western Technical College. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the current job market and what new graduates are looking for when it comes to potential employers. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. May is a time of celebration for many students graduating from higher education programs. Today we're talking about what comes next for many graduates, entering the workforce. With low unemployment and a shortage of workers in Wisconsin, what are the job prospects like for new graduates in the Cooley region? We're here with Barb Kelsey, Director of Career Services and Advising to Western Technical College, Beth Dolder-Zeke, Director of Career Services at Viterbo University, and Carolyn Bald, Assistant Director of Academic Advising and Career Services at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Beth, you touched on this earlier, but I wonder if you want to expand on kind of what the job market is like for most graduates coming out of Viterbo.
I think that the job market is robust right now is a word I would use to describe it. Our students are having to ask themselves not just, am I going to get this job, but which job do I want to accept? So my role becomes one of coaching them to bring their best self to the interview, help them to frame their experiences and their transferable skills in a way that it can be understood by the employer, and making sure that I help them to find sources of employment. I do a lot of encouraging students to look beyond just what's advertised. Most jobs really aren't advertised. You have to teach them to kind of network, and which is kind of scary for a lot of 22-year-olds to do, is to network. But there are a lot of jobs in the area, and I'm talking more and more to students who are interested in leaving the area. Traditionally, Viterbo has served, a very, like 64% of our students, our graduates stay in Wisconsin. So, we tend to have a very local presence, but more and more of our students are asking questions like, where do I want to live? What kind of lifestyle do I want to have? Do I want to telecommute? I want to be by a major airport. And so looking at some of these lifestyle issues that we might not have had those conversations 5 years ago, but now they're taking all of that into account as they look at the pay and the job, the things that they've always kind of looked at, but it's become a broader issue now. Lifestyle is being be part of it. And they can do that because the market is so good. They've got choices now. They don't have to take the first thing that they're offered. And as Carolyn said earlier, sometimes there's a lot of pressure on getting that dream job right away. They think, well, I went to college, and I'm the first one in my family to go to college, and I'm going to get that dream job, and they end up getting a management trainee position, and they're kind of disappointed. But that's where you start. I see my role in career services as helping those newly minted seniors to find that entry-level job. And from that job, they learn things about themselves. They take another job, and, they keep growing into themselves. But it usually takes, I'd say 8 to 10 years-ish before you really kind of find your niche when you're in your 30s, then it seems to kind of feel like they know what they bring to the table and how to market that.
Carolyn, I'm curious if students at UWL are also looking more at these lifestyle issues that Beth is talking about, not just the job, but other surrounding things, even things like looking at pay and benefits that employers are offering, or non-traditional benefits like childcare.
Absolutely. I think it's a community conversation that's happening right now. Because I know that there, in our local community, there's a struggle for mid-level employees that they're looking for. And so I think Beth hit it on the head that students are looking at things other than just the job. They want to know the lifestyle. So from an employer perspective, I think that's a great way to market your positions, is talk about the community that they're going to be members of and that they're going to benefit from. I think about how much our families have benefited from being in the La Crosse community. So students are a little bit more in tune with that now than I've ever seen in my career, that they're paying attention to the culture and the diversity of thoughts, ideas, groups, things that they can get involved in and people they can connect with. So I absolutely think that that is just a smart way to start to recruit some of these students. And the other thing, and I've had these discussions with others about how positions are advertised to new applicants. I don't think job position descriptions have changed in 40 years. So thinking about how do you write a job description to fit this generation? They want to contribute. They want to be successful, a successful part of the team. So how do you sell what they're going to be able to contribute to your organization, not just the long list of things they have to do? So, you know, those are the kinds of things that they're paying attention to. And I know some of our local employers have even said, you know, I would consider a new college grad and we can adjust the position and allow them to grow in it. So think about how you write your job description, because if they see 3 to 5 years required, they're likely not going to apply for it. So, but if there was something in there about this is an opportunity to build and grow in your career, then they're going to be interested in applying, because I think a lot of them find lacrosse as home, mm-hmm. and it's not off their radar in terms of their job search. So, yeah, I think there's a lot that they're looking for.
I think engagement, they want to become engaged mm-hmm. in some way, and the issue of fit, wanting to find that fit for their values.
Mm-hmm. Barb, I wonder what these conversations look like at Western Technical College, if they're different, just because of the nature of your program.
Yes and no. So our programs are shorter term. So they're sometimes, you know, a certificate that could be finished in a semester, or a 1-year program or a 2-year program. But I still think they have some of the same characteristics that both Beth and Carolyn talked about. Carolyn mentioned the culture of the work environment that they're going to be in. I think that's very important to many young people. I hear often that people are like, I don't want to do the same thing for the rest of my life. That's a big fear amongst many people. And, you know, anyone who's been in the world of work for a long time knows that the chances of that happening are really slim to none. But they do want to know that they have the opportunity to develop, to grow, to get feedback, to have a mentor, to be encouraged. I think employers should not underestimate the power of being, you know, having engagement with their employees. That makes a big difference. So even, you know, your job description is one thing, but people are going to your websites to look at, you know, to get an idea of what your culture is like, what's important to you. One of you mentioned diversity. That's really important. A sense of community or belonging is also important. Also, in how you engage, so if this is to employers out there, if you are coming to a career fair, bring some people who are doing the jobs that you're looking to hire, and help, you know, have them help sell those jobs. And if they're, you know, if you can bring somebody who's really happy and excited about what they're doing, it really makes an impression. I think that people, they know, young people know, they're going to be spending a lot of time at work, and they don't want to be miserable. They want to feel good about what they're doing.
Do you think lacrosse area employers are doing a good job of this right now? Or do you think there's room for improvement there?
Some of both. You know, there are definitely some employers who have, you know, taken a lead on that, and they know what the image that they're portraying makes a difference. But, you know, there's always room for improvement.
And I'm also curious, you know, Beth brought up the idea of looking for jobs outside of the traditional job boards. And I wonder, Barb, if you can talk about, you know, where graduates of Western Technical College are finding jobs. You know, is it on those traditional job boards or online or through other sources?
So we use something called Wisconsin Tech Connect, which is a job board system used by all of the Wisconsin Technical Colleges. And we highly encourage students to all get registered for that, because in order to be equitable, we want all employers that connect with us to post their jobs there. However, there has been and always will be a hidden job market. So since the time that I graduated from college, I remember my instructor saying, tell everybody you know that you're graduating and that you're looking for work. That still holds true today, because before they even get to that point of posting, if they have someone in mind, that happens. So, we do the traditional, like, career fairs as well, but we hold networking events, and people come to, you know, classrooms to speak about what they do, or maybe they're volunteering to help out for some kind of activity in a class. And that's how the student is finding out about a particular employer, and they might then start following that employer or start targeting them and looking for those opportunities as they come available.
Caroline, I wonder where a lot of UWL students are finding employment. Is it through online or job boards, or what other sources?
Like Barb, we have an online job board that our students use called Handshake. And it's used throughout the UW system and many of the other campuses around the state. So the neat thing about it is employers can go to one site, post a job to many campuses. And so it's really increased the number of opportunities for all of our students who are in the system. So we're seeing a lot more small and mid-sized organizations, as well as big national and international companies, posting in there. But I think they're... like the other two said, there's this hidden job market, and it's how you use your network. It's the alums that have been in their programs in the past and connecting with their faculty who connect them to these alums. Students today have something that we didn't have, social media. And I'm not encouraging all employers to go out and post in social media, but there are some really good places like LinkedIn that students are utilizing to start to network. But also, when students, to Barb's point about telling everyone, I think about my own situation. When my partner moved to the area, I posted on social media that he was looking for a specific position, and four people contacted the same person, and the gentleman called and said, I don't know you, but I really want to talk to you because four people recommended I talk to you. So the power of social media can be really strong in just building a network. It didn't get them a job, but it got them more connections and a bigger network.
I think people always want to hire people that they know of, too. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's risky to hire a total stranger. And so being a part of those social networks can really help. I'd also encourage employers to use more than one way to reach out to students, mm-hmm. to do the job boards. Viterbo uses something called Purple Briefcase, though we will be switching to Handshake this summer. But go to the job fairs and make yourself available to talk with students, to have those conversations. Students will remember companies that made them feel comfortable. They will remember those recruiters who reached out to them and started a conversation. And even in this day of high tech, there's still something about that touch. And so I would encourage employers to go to job fairs, get in the classrooms, do on-campus recruiting, post on the job boards, maintain relationships with the career services offices, because we can help in our offices, help employers kind of devise that strategy for how to reach students, mm-hmm. and alums. And alums, as Carolyn said, alums are one of our greatest assets. We have networking events a couple times a year where we invite alums to come back and do mock interviews with our students, and it's always very popular. And the alums love it too. But
It allows our students an opportunity to network, which is a really scary word. Networking is terrifying for most people. It allows them to network without even knowing they're networking. And then later on we say, you networked. I did, yeah.
That's Beth Dolder-Zeke, Director of Career Services at Viterbo University, here with us today to talk about the current job market for graduates from their institution, from her institution, who are graduating this month. She's joined by Carolyn Bald from UWL and Barb Kelsey from Western Technical College. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Beth, I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about what career services at Viterbo looks like. You know, what are the activities that you guys are offering to students, and how often are students taking advantage of those?
I think you'll find that all of our offices are very different. In my office, we do career advising. We help students make sense of their lives. I am a certified career counselor, and so I work with students very closely who are experiencing anxiety over their careers, or sometimes students who really thought that they were going to be in one career or one major, and then for whatever reason weren't successful. And so my role is more of a counseling role. But at my office, we also do academic advising. We do, traditionally it's been called job placement, though we don't really place people, but we help connect those students. We have a very robust internship program, and we also have a number of events, like a career fair every fall. We do speed mock interview events. We bring in speakers from, like, the Wisconsin State Recruitment. We do employer panels, and we talk about LinkedIn. We teach classes for students who are choosing a major or who are going out into the job market. And then we also survey students 6 months after graduation to find out what employment they found. So we're a small office, we're only three people, but we probably interact with, I would say, about 50% of the students have at least one interaction, one student contact with every student on campus. And we're not exactly centrally located, but people seem to find us. And we are just really happy to work with students. One of the big things we're doing right now is resumes. And we're doing lots and lots of resumes, because no matter how technical the job search gets, you still have to have a nice resume. And so we help students.
Lots and lots of resumes.
Lots. Did I mention lots and lots of resumes?
Lots and lots of resumes.
We do, yeah. And so at Viterbo, because we're small, we just really kind of pride ourselves on that high touch. So we tend to do lots of one-on-one. Students come in for a resume review, and it may take an hour or two, but that's what you get at a private college.
Yeah, and Barb, I wonder if you could talk about what career services looks like at Western Technical College, aside from resumes.
Right, resumes. We also help with that career exploration piece. So if we have people who are undecided about what they want to go to school for, or if they're changing a major, the career fairs and workshops. One of the workshops that we try to hold every year is around salary negotiation, or which is a lot more than just salary. That presentation usually is a lot about what you're looking for in a job. So looking at that whole benefit package, which is very enlightening to most people. Everyone knows about salaries, and it's easy enough to find out, you know, what range you should be looking for. But when you're talking about benefits, that becomes quite a bit more complex. Luckily, I think that employers have kind of begun to realize, like, how important that is in being upfront, and so they're more willing to show or display a whole package. So whether that means their health insurance, dental insurance, tuition reimbursement, retirement, how many days off a year, what kind of flexibility they have in the job, childcare, which I don't think there's a lot of places that offer that. That's kind of a rarity, but you know, really looking at that whole picture is, I think, an area that people need to know more about, because it's kind of those hidden things that really can make your job really a good one beyond just the salary.
And Carolyn, as we wrap up here, I wonder if you could just talk about career services at UWL and maybe how soon you suggest students get involved with career services.
Mm-hmm. We're very much like the other two offices. What I love, because we have academic advising pieces, we touch the student the moment they come on campus and then long after they leave. So we get to see the student throughout their whole process, which I think is really rewarding for us, but I think also helpful for the student and the employers to know that we've had those touches along the way. The sooner the better. You know, I always tell the student, the sooner you start working on your job search, the more help we can be, and the less stressed you're going to be. If you can start to identify what you want to sell, how you're going to sell it, it will help you going into the application process with a lot more confidence and just a little bit more relaxed, because you've been better prepared. So the sooner the better, but we're always there to help long after you're gone.
Carolyn Bald from UWL, Barb Kelsey from Western Technical College, and Beth Dolder-Zeke from Viterbo University join us to talk about the current job market for students graduating from higher education programs this spring. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio and La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers.